Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we are going to be looking at Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1, we're going to give a general idea of what Numbers, the entire book is about in kind of like a short survey to get you all introduced to the book. We'll be going over some details here concerning the title and everything. The Hebrew title to this book is In the Wilderness. In the Wilderness is the Septuagint title comes from the census that is given in chapters 1 through 4 and also chapters 26, the numbering of the children of Israel. The second numbering found in chapter 26 was a result of the failure of unbelief at Kadesh Barnea, found in chapter 13. And this, chapter 13, is the subject of Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 6 and those warnings about failing in faith. We're to make our calling and our election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Election is not by just a number. Some people seem to think there are a certain number that can only be saved. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses have a number of 144,000. And they all proclaim that they are members of the 144,000 of faithful. But it is not just by number, even though God knows the number. Election is by name. And this is found in verse 2, as well as seen in the book of life. You are not given a number in the book of life. Your name is found in the book of life. Now the numbering here is a technique that they used to account for the number in their tribes to form an army. The results of the first numbering of fighting age men were 603,550. Now, Numbers chapter 1, verse 3 gives the Old Testament legal age of accountability. There is no other stated age of accountability given in the New Testament. This age is the age that a man would qualify to serve in the armed forces, which basically was age 20 to age 50. He would serve in the armed forces of Israel as an adult. Now this is different from the so-called age of accountability doctrine taught in some churches. Such age of accountability doctrine teaches that a separate plan of salvation is available for young children. In this plan, children are considered as innocent. And if they die during this stage of life, they automatically go to heaven. Such a doctrine ignores election, and such a doctrine ignores original sin that we are all born with. See, Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 13 concerning this. And this doctrine proclaims that man is born innocent and therefore worthy of heaven contrary to sound biblical doctrine, as stated in Psalm 51, verse 5. In sin did my mother conceive me. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and thereabouts. Now, of the large number of the first generation, only two, that would be Caleb and Joshua, were permitted to enter the land of promise. According to Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, it is few, being the number of faithful poor in spirit, who actually thirst after righteousness. Also, we might also consider the fact that the mixed multitude that was following Israel in the wanderings in the wilderness were not counted. They were not numbered. There are always more or less tag-alongs in God's church. These are they who have never been born again, yet they do go to church, or on special occasions, usually Christmas and Easter, and they give kind of like an affirmative nod toward the church throughout life. But they would be considered a mixed multitude, having never joined the church through the new birth and through acts of faith. Now, the rule of population calculation. The rule of population calculation considered the population to be four times the size of any army mustered, or about 2.4 million would be the calculation for the population according to the numbering of the people. Remember, the first numbering I stated was 603,550. The results of the second numbering in chapter 26 was 601,730. Now, these were both rounded numbers with no unit digits, with a difference of a decrease from the first count to the second of 1,820. Interesting also to note that the wives' family in this count was not counted. If there was, they counted the father's family only. Okay, let's see. Now we can compare David's sinful numbering found in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. And we can calculate the population by the rule of population calculation. Now remember I said it's four times the size of the army back in those days. Now, modern times, that is quite different. Okay, let's see here. The numbering had the purpose of organizing the army of the Lord. Verse 3, all able to go to war was the measurement. They had to qualify by ability. It wasn't just age. They noted as to whether you were healthy enough or in a good enough condition to go to war, to fight in a battle. So all who were able to go to war was qualified for the army. Now each tribe had a banner or a standard. according to chapter 1, verse 52. And this was what we would consider a family crest. The 12 tribes were arranged in military order around the tabernacle. To the east, closest to the entrance, was Nason, the firstborn of Judah. The family banner was emerald green, with the family name, and a lion was depicted on it. Verse 18 of this same chapter, Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, they declared their pedigrees. In other words, they had to prove they belonged to that family. They were not members of the mixed multitude. They had to state what family and what heritage they had, who their father was. This is very much unlike modern day Mormonism, with their family lines and phony genealogies. And their baptisms for the dead to get people into their version of heaven. Now all this, all these genealogies found in the Old Testament here, they basically point to the fact that though these men who were being counted had to have a pedigree, they had to show their birth. And it's kind of like modern America. To get a driver's license, you have to show your birth certificate or something. This is similar in idea, but it all points to the New Testament idea where Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, saying it didn't matter whether you were a Jew, a Pharisee, a Sadducee, publican or sinner, you must be born again. John chapter 3, verse 7. So Jesus included not just those who had the pedigree, but those of the world, the Gentile, those outside the nation. And John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 pointed out that ye must be born again, born of God, not of the flesh, not of blood. It's not by family lines that really count. You must be born again, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. We just covered the tribe of Judah. The family banner was emerald green, and now that was at the east. At the east was the closest to the entrance into the tabernacle. At the south, closest to the tabernacle was Elazar, son of Reuben. Now, he had a red or Sardis standard or banner, and that depicted a male human head, showing Reuben as the head of the family, the firstborn. Now, on the east of the tabernacle, and closest to the tabernacle, was Elahaham, son of Ephraim. Now this, his banner, was golden, crystallite, and it had on it the picture of a bull, or a bull ox. At the north was Ahazer, son of Dan. Now their standard was white and red, or carbuncle. Now the chosen their chosen image showed an eagle, the enemy of the serpent. This is rather symbolic. According to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, the tabernacle indeed pictures the heavenlies. Now, the image of the standards that we just given are very similar, if you will notice, they're very similar to the cherubim images found in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, and Ezekiel chapter 10 in general. Also, those four images from those banners are the images of the cherubim found in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, the church on earth basically has been historically called the church militant. The church militant. This is illustrated perhaps best in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. And they are to be pictured as arrayed and ready for battle. In other words, the church militant has this armor on, and its sword sharpened and ready to go, anticipating, ready for the battle. That is the picture of the church in the New Testament. However, much of the modern church is the church militant in retreat, retreating away from victory found in God's Word. The church in heaven, in contrast to the church on earth, the church in heaven is called the church triumphant. Church on earth is church militant. Church in heaven is called church triumphant. The church has its standard, and this is found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And it's all about Christ. The standard is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is who He is. That is the standard we hold up. And this goes against the foes of the heir of this world who proclaim Him only as a teacher, only as a good man. But no, indeed He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for eternity. Revelation 19, verse 16. It is behind this standard that we, the church militant, rally and fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. We fight against corruption of doctrine. Unfortunately, many modern churches don't even teach doctrine, but only emphasize personal experience. Please look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 concerning that. Doctrine is very important. Basically, if you don't know what doctrine is, it is simply what the Bible teaches. Some are afraid that they will offend people with doctrine. Not so. We are to teach doctrine according to the Bible. We are to fight the good fight of faith against corruption and doctrine and the world. We are to fight the good fight of faith against what is going on in the world. That doesn't mean we retreat from any part of the world. The church is in the world, but not of it. So if you find you are one of Christ's own, no matter where you're at in the geography of the earth, or no matter where you're at politically or age-wise or in your employment, no matter where you're at in the world, you are to fight the good fight of faith. And Jesus, in chapter 16, verse 18 of Matthew, basically stated that hell's gates are to be taken. We are not to retreat from victory. Judges chapter 16, verse 3. Hell's gates are to be taken by those who carry His banner high. Who is the His? Jesus Christ. We are to carry His banner high, holding forth the sword of the Lord. His gospel is the message of victory. See Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And with that, we will close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee now for this, Thy word. We thank Thee for everything that it teaches us. We ask that You'll open our hearts and minds to it, cause us to be obedient, as well as thankful to Thee. Now, Lord, we pray that You'll be with each of the requests, each one of the needs. Increase our faith and cause us to prosper in whatsoever we do for Thee. For it is in Your name we pray. Amen.